Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
The podcast Campus Files is back with more stories of scandal, crime, and intrigue on college campuses. Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, it's Jill Schlesinger. I'm launching a new show. It's called Money Moves, and your money is going to move. We're going to help you make better financial decisions. We're going to call out the BS you're finding all over social media. We're going to give you actionable guidance to make your financial life clearer, less stressful. We're going to answer your financial questions and take the mystery out of your financial life. Follow and listen to Money Moves with Jill Schlesinger wherever you get your podcasts.
Anybody, anywhere.
It's time to take command with former NFL tight end Logan Paulson.
This pass caught by Paulson, the tight end.
And from 106.7 The Fan, Grant Paulson.
Welcome in to Take Command with Logan Paulson. It's been a decade in the NFL. I am Grant Paulson. This is Take Command. You can watch us on the 106.7 The Fan and Team 980 YouTube channels. You can listen to the show wherever you get your audio. Logan, I can't wait to wrap my paws around you and see you in Ashburn and head on out there and sweat with you as we watch training camp. Practices are here. We'll be out there for the first time for the big practice on Wednesday morning.
I'm glad you said sweat because, yeah, that is a very definitive characteristic of standing on the sideline. Like, yeah, like sometimes I'm looking out there at practice and I'm like, I can't believe that I used to do that. Like, because I'm hot, I'm sweaty, I got my nice little bottle of water, you know, like my sunglasses are on. I'm like, this is tough. And I'm just like, I used to be out there dying. And I don't remember how I mentally got to that point.
I feel like you're one of those guys who has like a very small washcloth or towel around your neck and like wipes your face and your brow with it. Aren't you that
so,
guy?
So, no, I am a bucket hat, sunglasses, you know, polo shirt type of guy. And my producer for the command center server for command center. Yeah. Came up to me and said, you have a very camp cultivated look. And I was like, yes, I do, because I don't want to be too hot and I don't want to get a sunburn. So that's how I've built my camp look. Towel might not be a bad throw. That might not be a bad addition though. I will say that.
I just get pummeled with sun because I never wear sunscreen. So it's like the one time that I'm out in the sun, people are like, you have to wear sunscreen. That's crazy. And it's like, what if you never go outside ever? And that's pretty much what I do. I typically am not outside, but training camp changes that. And I will get hit pretty good with the sun. But we got some news and notes to cover. There's a lot going on as we go into training camp here with the Commanders. So let's start with Trey Amos being put on the PUP list, the Commanders' second-year cornerback. You know, he had said publicly he thought that he was ready to go, but he's on PUP, physically unable to perform. He could be taken off PUP at any point during camp, and they just, you know, replace him on the active roster, and then they have to waive somebody. So this is not like a designation in the regular season where he has to miss weeks on end, four games or something. But what was your thought that he's on PUP?
Yeah, I mean, I think the interesting thing about these long rehabs is you never really know how the process is going. And I will say, like, you know, I think Washington has a great medical staff. They've always had a great medical staff, in my opinion. Like, when I was here, I always had great experiences with those guys. They took really good care of me. And I've kept close contact with a lot of guys on the staff. And I think they're just trying to make the best decision for the player. And I will say I know there's this kind of like, you know, ready for training camp, ready for whatever. Like, it doesn't really matter for a player like him, I don't think, too much. Again, obviously you want him to get some practice in, you want him to do the preseason, you want him to do some stuff, maybe probably a joint practice, but in terms of being ready for the week one of training camp, not that important. And I think ultimately you just want him to be as healthy as he possibly can be. So I think that's what I'm going to defer to, is they have intimate knowledge of his rehab. They understand kind of where he's at, what he needs to do, and any kind of steps that need to be taken care of. So again, like, not super critical that he's ready for Wednesday, but obviously at some point you'd like him to come off PUP and start practicing.
Yeah, so I've always thought who's on PUP and who isn't for the first day of camp is one of the most overrated stories of training camp. I'll be honest.
It's overrated, but it's the thing. It's the only thing to talk about, right? So that's what people talk about.
I understand that. Here's where it's tough though. Like, it could become a big deal, and it could become a big story. So being on PUP is the first page of like a book that is really bad. Okay.
Yeah.
But almost all of the time, the first page is going to be the same, whether it's really bad or fine. So it's like one of those things where, generally speaking, it's going to be a nothing burger, but you have to act accordingly, report on it, discuss it as if it could end up being a problem, right? So I totally get that, and I totally understand it. It seems like everything's tracking and trending pretty well with him. The other one, and I will say I was a little more surprised maybe with Dorrance Armstrong being on PUP, and maybe I shouldn't have been. I just haven't tracked as closely his progress or what all he was doing in the spring. But his injury was early enough in the season, Logan, that's where I'm pretty surprised. I mean, it was, I think, 7 or 8 games into the year that he got hurt. Typically, you think about, you know, these recoveries and timelines now, and I know everybody's different. Medicine's gotten so good that, you know, like, I know it's a different position, different guy altogether, but Patrick Mahomes tore his ACL in December into January. He's going to be on the practice field. Maybe it starts, you know, limited, but he'll be ready for week 1, and I think Armstrong will too. But I was a little bit surprised by that one. Were you?
No, I think ACL still, there are these kind of outlier, you know, Mahomes is going to be back, or, you know, player X is on a really fast timetable return. But I think people forget there are different types of surgeries that people have for the ACL, and different ones require different amounts of rehab. So, for example, if you get a patella graft on the knee, which I think a lot of fans probably remember that because that's what Chase Young did, it just takes a little bit longer. Like, I work at a PT clinic, and that's one of the first things that I hear the PTs kind of disclose to me about the patient. It's like, hey, this guy's coming off, you know, he's 8 months out, he's got a patella graft, like he's getting this kind of pain. And so I do think that's just an important context there. Some people get the hamstring graft, you know, like it just depends on what cadaver graft is the other one people do. So, you know, like it just depends on the type of surgery. And some of those have longer rehab times. Like, so for example, when you take the patella graft, like and I don't know what Dorrance did, but you get a little tendonitis in that knee for a little bit longer. And there are some studies that indicate that tendonitis can lead to patella ruptures potentially. So you really want to be cautious with the timetable. Now, long-term, that thing grafts down better and return to play is much more effective. But I do think just understanding what the guy did, we don't have any context on that hasn't been reported. So not super surprising for me. And again, like ultimately, like I want Dorrance to be on the 53-man roster week 1. And so if the training staff has determined that this is the right course of action in terms of holding him out, like you said, missing the first couple days of practice is not a huge deal for a player, especially like Dorrance, who's been around for a long time. I could hear the argument that, you know, Trey Amos is a rookie. He needs as much practice as possible. But Dorrance has been around the block a few times. He understands how this thing cooks. So,
yeah, I know it's a different scheme, different coordinator. So you want some time on task. But to your point, with Armstrong or Dietrich Wise, these guys that have, you know, longtime veterans, going to pick things up pretty quickly. Doesn't feel like a game changer. I do think Amos, because of how few reps he has in the National Football League, probably is going to benefit a little bit more from these camp practices. But look around the league. I mean, there are guys that are going to be cut and signed in the final days before the season. You know, Washington may still bring in a receiver in a couple of weeks. You got guys that oftentimes don't even want to be on a team at the start of camp because they don't want to go through the sweating and the bleeding and the, you know, the rigors of training camp. So it's going to be perfectly fine, I think, for them to navigate that. But we'll have to monitor those three guys who are on the physically unable to perform list to start camp. Another interesting tidbit that we got right here at the start of training camp going into practice number 1 is that Nick Ballore is retiring. Nick Ballore is a special teams standout. This guy has had an unbelievable lengthy career as just an absolute animal on teams, just flying down the field at full speed, getting into collisions, banging heads with people. Talk about a guy that, you know, for 20, 30 years into the future is probably going to be walking with a different gait because he's been in so many car crashes. And basically an anonymity, you know, never really been a guy that would have been well known on teams. He can go out and sit in restaurants and eat and no one's bothering him. But he was a really important player on one of the better coverage units in the NFL last year.
Yeah, I think he's actually, that's kind of a sneaky loss. And I will say, like, obviously there's a lot of guys who are good on teams on this roster. You got your Tyler Owens, your Percy Butlers. You got a bunch of guys, Colson Yankoff, that are really good in that area. And you know, Ale Kaho is another guy that comes to mind. But I do think when you kind of take a step back and look at last year, like Nick Ballore was that dude. And like, you know, you kind of are like, man, why are they bringing in this special teams linebacker year 15? That's a young man's job. But the second you watch him put his cleats on the grass he is unique. Like, I remember watching, like, you know, I cover the game from the sideline, obviously. And I remember watching the first kickoff that he was on the roster, which maybe I think was last year or 2 years ago. And I was like, that dude is a maniac, the callus he's built. So this is kind of one of those sneaky things. Like, the special teams of the last 2 years has been excellent here in Washington under Coach Larry Izzo, and I think he's been a big part of that, the leadership, the mentality. So I think this is kind of a sneaky kind of thing that needs to be filled in. And, you know, they were probably saving a roster spot for him before the retirement was announced because of how good he was on teams. Now, who's going to kind of take on that leadership role in that group? Obviously, Revo is one that comes to mind, but he's probably going to be playing more on defense. So it'll just be interesting to see kind of how they offset this person that you said, like, I think that's a great description. It's kind of lived in anonymity, but was such a big part of this team's success on one of its stronger units last year.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around waiting for the track to dry is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire. Plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey wherever you get your podcasts.
I have a sneaky infatuation with, like, these special teams coverage linebackers like that guy, and have for years, going back to, you know, I watched, like, Curtis Buckley back in the day just run down and get into these collisions. And this is with the Redskins at the turn of the millennium. And I've always kind of, like, picked a dude on teams, and I like just watching them, you know, on special teams run down. And it's all changed now with the 5 yards rule, so to speak, on kickoffs. But, you know, Nick Bolor is a really legitimate weapon on teams, yeah. And they have been great. I don't think that can be underscored enough. Like, this was a two-time Pro Bowler in a five-year span in Seattle when he was with Izzo. Izzo comes over here, brings him with him, and, you know, he turns into the heart and soul, essentially, of the coverage unit. But he had done this. His rookie year was 1 year after yours, Logan.
I know.
2011. He's 37 years old, and these collisions we're talking about, it's been every Sunday, like, the whole time. There was only 1 year. I don't know what happened or what led to it. I'd have to look it up. But in San Francisco in 2016, he actually started a ton, like 10 games, and he made 83 tackles and had a sack, and, you know, had some counting stats and did some good things. But that was kind of the only time he really got any legitimate opportunities on defense. It's almost exclusively been like, all right, time to go get into a, you know, full speed car crash. Nick, you're up.
Yeah.
And I just, his whole career arc is really fascinating to me.
And it's one of those things, man, that I just have the utmost respect for, because that journey is tough, man. That is a tough journey, and it's cool. I just, like, you know, everyone has their people that they admire, right? You know, you admire your Matt Ryans, your Julio Jones, right? Like, whoever, like, these big time, big payday kind of guys. But I know how hard it is, man, to go from team to team, to relocate your family, to make new friends, to reestablish your role on a team. And he's done that for 15 years, man. I have so much respect for him and the way he's gone about his business. And so, again, like, it's disappointing to me to see a player that I admire, a guy that played with the right kind of physicality, retire. But hopefully this is the right thing for him and his family and the right thing for his body. And he can, you know, enjoy retirement for a long time, and, you know, doing whatever he's going to do after playing 15 years in the league. Man, his pension must look great. So good for him, man. Really stoked. And what an incredible journey for him, quite honestly.
Curious about that, by the way, because I you know, I think it's something people would be interested in. The NFL pension, how many years do you have to play? And then how does that actually work?
So it's changed a little bit since I got in. I think now it's four, like, you have to, or 3.5. I forget the exact number. It's 3.5 or four. And basically, once you hit that number, every year you play, the NFL will put money into an annuity, a pension, and obviously you're contributing to your 401k. So It actually, like, the longer you play, the better, quite honestly, because I forget what it goes. It goes up a certain percentage each year. So like my number is pretty good. I played 10, but for 15, it kind of hits like an exponential curve. So like the money you get in that annuity is fantastic. The pension's fantastic. And again, it's directly correlated to how long you play. So, you know, good for him, man. Good for him and all those guys.
And they're not, in other words, like stroking you a check. It's going into an account the same way. Like I have a 401k and it just,
correct,
it balloons because they just are dumping money into that based on how long you played.
Correct. Yeah, that's exactly right. So like, you know, guys that have played for 4 years, the pension's minimal. You know, there's not a lot going on there. But for guys that have played like he's played, you know, I played for 10 years, like my pension annuity looked pretty good. So it's just a nice way that the NFL is taking care of guys. And, you know, for guys that like me who are on league minimum deals for the majority of their career, like, it's a nice kind of like, okay, 55, 65 years old, I got a nice little nest egg growing for me. So
probably matters a lot more for someone like you. Like I'm thinking about, you know, a guy like Kirk Cousins, you know, keeps playing here and signed with the Raiders this year. Who knows if this is it or if he goes somewhere else next year. He's made all the money. He's a, you know, people will say he's like a business Hall of Famer or whatever. He's one of the sharpest guys with contracts in the world. But I'm thinking about like quarterbacks who hang around after they've started a couple of years as a backup. Like Joe Flacco is a perfect example.
Yeah.
He's not really on the Cousins level. But, like, Flacco's won a Super Bowl, and, like, every year he's like, I'll do one more for $4 million with the Bengals. But the other part of that is, like, that pension's getting a little sweeter and a little sweeter. Now, you know, he's made so much money, I don't know that he needs the nest egg. But, you know, if you're on the minimum like you were, Ballor was for X amount of years, that guy's made good money. But people, I don't think they understand, like, how quickly some of the money can evaporate either. It sounds amazing. But when you're close to a million a year, like the minimum or whatever it is, like half of that's close to, it's going to taxes. Then you're paying some of that to the agent. I mean, you'd be better to explain it, but it's not, I don't think for the guys that make the lower tier money in the league, like those practice squad fringe players, I'm not crying for anybody. There's a lot of people listening that don't make this, but it isn't quite what people think either, I would say.
Yeah. So first off, like, yeah, like the NFL was great. Like it's the best paycheck you're ever going to get. Like it's fantastic, but I will say, like, you get that, you know, let's just take a nice round number, like $1 million. Like, there's periods of the season where you're paying 55% in taxes on that thing, right? So, like, that number, like, immediately drops down to, you know, like 500,000, you know, in some cases, like when you're playing in California or when I was playing in California, they take a nice big chunk off of that, too. I think it's 15% or 13%, whatever it was. So that gets down pretty quick. You're paying your agent 3%. And, you know, like teams don't pay for you to move. So any kind of moving expenses. So like, again, it's fantastic money. It's the best job ever. Like I have zero complaints about it, but it does, like, you do have to be fastidious. And like, there were guys that I played with. And the other thing that this was like a sneaky thing is like, I only got paid in the season. They've changed this since now, but like I would get paid for like 17 games in the season or in the bye. I get a check.
That's not the same. Cause yeah, it used to be 17 checks for the year.
I was talking to a young guy and they said that they were changing that or they were trying to change it. And so basically you get 17 checks. And so like, I remember being a rookie and like, thank God I had like a really good support system. They were like, you got to make sure you're not spending any of this money. Like make sure you say, not that I would, but I had friends and like my CPA now is like, oh yeah, we have players that we represent that have to take out loans to pay their taxes. Cause they forget that it's like just this short window of time that they're getting paid. And that they don't like account for the money that they have to pay the government. So there is a little bit of like, oh damn, like this is a lot of tax money that needs to be allocated here. So, you know, like everyone's like, you know, there was a period of time where I was paying like $600,000 in taxes off checks and stuff. So it was, it's a little bit jarring when you get that check in the mail and you're like, damn, thought this was going to be a little bit bigger, but you know, still great money, still great opportunity. So no, don't cry for me about anything like that. So.
Yeah, no, I'm, that's just not enough. I'm sorry, you know. But the point is,
it's just like it's one of those points where it's like it really tests your belief in the government of the United States. You're like, man, I'm giving a lot to this thing. It better be taken care of stuff like, that I think needs to be taken care of.
Well, here's what I will say. Like, I don't think we're bordering on politics or anything, but I will say, if I'm stroking that big of a check ever, and I'm not, I will never do that. Like, yeah. I get mad over that. I'm like, I got to pay $2,000 in taxes. That's terrible. But if I'm ever stroking that big of a check and I hit a pothole,
Oh,
I am pissed.
You know? I mean, that's kind of what it's like, though.
My kid has a problem at a public school. We everything would be more annoying. Like, I gave you the money to fix this. I gave you enough to fix it all. No more pothole. Why is this traffic light not working?
Yeah, it should work.
I would just be living angry. You know, just like everything would be the most annoying thing ever.
I love that. I love it.
Yeah. He's Logan Paulson. I'm Grant Paulson. This is Take Command. There was one other item on the hit list here from the news to start camp, and it wasn't good. A coach got dismissed. We'll talk about that next.
As the U.S. men's national team takes center stage at a home World Cup, make sure you're listening to Call It What You Want, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can join me, I'm Jimmy Conrad, alongside Charlie Davies, Tony Miola, Marcelo Balboa, and Benny Feilhaber throughout this tournament for previews, instant reactions, and analysis of every U.S. match. Then all summer, we're back every Tuesday and Thursday, covering all things U.S. men's national team. Download and follow Call It What You Want on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, hard-hitting American history podcast told through entertaining stories. Join me, Professor Greg Jackson, for History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast. Available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.